Welcome back, everyone. Welcome to Parenting Unplugged. This is Elisa.
And you're here with Monica. And today we are going to be diving into a really, really hot topic in the world of motherhood, in the world of parenthood. And I think this is so, so interesting to talk about this. And this topic today we're going to be talking about is how the relationship with your partner changes after you have a baby or babies or, you know, whatever your situation is. This is such a crucial topic because we don't talk about this enough. We really don't talk about the shift, the major shift that happens after you have babies with you and your partner. And we forget to talk about it because we just kind of go with the flow. But then you realize, wow, like, my relationship really has changed. We really just want to talk about that today. You know, the beautiful aspects of it, the more challenging aspects of it, and really the unexpected as well.
This is definitely a really powerful episode, I think, because it's a topic that I think it gets often overlooked because obviously, like, the center of attention during this time is the baby. So it's so easy to, like, forget about the relationship at home and what's happening there that I think that can easily, you know, it can easily take toll. So I think that it's really important to talk about this, Monica. I think that this is, like, one of like the topics that I can think of that, like, a lot of people have asked us to kind of, like, you know, touch on. So I think that it's, like, really important to definitely give it its own space.
Yeah. I mean, let's kind of jump straight into it. I think one of the biggest misconceptions, especially when you enter the world of parenthood, is they kind of look at, you know, this is obviously assuming you have a partner. They look at, you know, if you can handle it, you have a really strong relationship, you know. And I think that's a huge misconception because I don't think it necessarily, I mean, let me rephrase that. I think having a child really tests the relationship between you and your partner. I think it's maybe the biggest test that you will ever receive. Because, you know, going through, you know, there are obviously other life-changing moments that affect you and your partner. But having a child really turns everything upside down and makes you question versions of yourself that you never knew existed. And that can be quite scary for yourself as well as your partner, because you've put stress at its highest level. And, like, dealing with that, you know, the human nature is the biggest test of time. Like, how do you react under stress? And I know myself, I can manage stress really well, or I can manage stress really bad. And you know, that's is and you have to be mindful of this, you because if you're not mindful about how you're reacting or how you're dealing with the situation, it can spiral. And you have to constantly ground yourself individually, with, like, as a partnership, and it's tough. Like, it's really, really tough.
I mean, I think that, like, there's definitely a lot there, and it's sort of easy to kind of fall into, like, a routine where you're just, like, checking off things off your list for the day, like, you know, getting your things done and, you know, getting the routine going. And obviously, or in the beginning days where you're, like, really sleep deprived. So obviously being under, you know, 0 to little hours of sleep, you know, you're under high stress, you're sleep deprived. So it's, like, obviously it's going to be definitely take a huge toll. And, like, I think also it's easy for this time, you know, around, like, especially newborn days or even in beyond, for things to go from, like, feeling where you're partners to roommates, you know, and, like, falling into that trap. Just because there's, like, so many things that you need to take care of as far as, like, babies and chores and things like that. But, you know, Monica, I'm curious, is there anything that you have done to, like, help you stay connected and to like help you stay connected as a couple, I mean. Like, is there
Yeah.
anything that off the top of your head you think can like helped you during this time?
I mean, that is, that's a great question. And I think that it changes in the different stages of parenthood that you're dealing with, right? So you've got the newborn trenches where you have zero sleep and you are trying to function from sleep deprivation, you and your partner, right? And that's why they use like sleep deprivation as a tool to torture people, because people don't function under sleep deprivation. It's really, it's tough. So for the newborn stages, I think we've mentioned this in previous tip topics closer to when we first kind of released this podcast. And I think those really beginning stages, just holding hands and just having those 10-second check-ins before you just like collapse on the bed, I think that's the closest I got to keeping the connection, or that we got to keeping the connection, because the newborn trenches, it's called newborn trenches for a reason. Like, you really just don't even, you don't even know how to think right then, right? Because everything is just a blur.
I mean, you're like in sensory overload, right? Like the baby needs like constant like nursing, carrying, soothing, and it's just like endless. So like during this time, I think that everyone kind of takes it differently as well. It could be different, depending on like the person. But like the mother that just birthed the baby, for example, when I birthed Gami, I couldn't really think of a physical touch too much. And I think it's because I was still playing that I had, in my head, I was like replaying that I had birthed a baby. And I felt very much postpartum and very like sensitive, kind of. And very, I don't know exactly how to put it, but I think that I had been touched so much in so many ways during those like last 9 months, constantly being poked and monitored and stuff like that, that finally when Kami was here, I just kind of like I felt relieved, but also I felt like I wasn't ready like to move forward from it. And I think that that's all part of like the grieving process when you first become a mother as well. What do you think?
Because you have to grieve the fact well, you're not pregnant anymore. So that's one kind of hurdle. And after you have brought your baby into the world in whatever form that took, finally people don't have to check you or monitor you or analyze you like externally, internally. Like, you don't have any of that anymore. So I feel like that relief comes in the form of, okay, I'm going to put my physical boundary up now, because I just, and you're right, like, you are completely touched out to the point where you really don't want anyone near you, because you've had not even so much your baby, it's just like all the external factors. And obviously you've got the grand finale of, like, giving birth. You just, I mean, obviously from my personal experience, you just don't feel like you can have anyone touch you in any kind of way, because you really need to heal to allow someone in your space again. And I think that that is going on to, with how that affects you and your partner. Like, my husband was very mindful of this after, obviously I birthed Noah. And I think that it's really good for your partner to give you that space, and to allow the mother to initiate when she feels like she has the space for any kind of physical or emotional connecting, So, for me, it did take a while. It started with, very small steps, like taking a walk and holding hands and things like that. Because you're going through so much as well. You're going through so much. But then you also have the guilt factor, of, oh, I don't have that intimacy with my husband or my partner. I should have that intimacy with my partner, but I don't feel ready. And so you kind of have that yo-yo guilt
A
kicking
lot.
in, right? So you have that, and then alongside your whole brain is absorbed into your baby and just trying to give them everything, you possibly have. So you have that cycle, which can turn, it can go, it can be not a great cycle if you let it continue. So you have to give yourself grace, and you have to sometimes you have to tell yourself it's okay that I've got this barrier up right now, because I'm allowed to give myself time. I'm allowed to give myself space. And hopefully, you have that partnership where you're both communicating. And that's kind of the next thing I wanted to go into, is the communication. Without the communication, there's no way you and your partner can let each other know where you're at. Because some people may take X amount of time to become intimate again, and some people may not need that amount of time. And I feel like what really helped with me and my husband is that we just kept the line of communication open as much as possible. And if anyone knows me, I'm a huge communicator. I love talking about things. That's how I heal. That's how, I move on. And I don't know about you, Elisa, but the communicating was really big for me. And yeah, that's what allowed me to really kind of move on from that. How was it for you?
I think that communicating is really important. But here's the thing, is that if you're kind of like living in chaos, and especially the first newborn days, it's very hard to communicate because you're exhausted. So I think that communication might start coming a little bit more as like the days go on, or even like trying to set like a tiny bit of a routine. So I think that the routines are what have helped me. And obviously now, Camila, as a toddler, like now we have a solid routine going. But I think that we managed to have a little bit of a routine going on a day to day that kept things just a little bit normal. By a routine, I mean just like when I was done feeding Kami, Dama would come in and like burp her, So during that time, I would take that time to just kind of like decompress, and then maybe we can talk right in that second, So like we just kind of tried to keep a little bit of consistency. And that is when we kept that consistency and found those little moments, that's when I was able to like squeeze in like a few minutes to talk, And then obviously when Camila, started getting, a little bit better at sleeping, we were able to put her down at a certain time, like come like 8 o'clock, and then we had the night to talk, which I think that for me is like so important, to try to establish that at some point where you're able to like, put the kids down at a decent time so you can reconnect with your partner. Because that's the only time that you have. That's the only time that you have to talk about your day. So obviously you don't have that time in the beginning, but I think that in the beginning, if you can have some kind of like balance going where you can find those couple of minutes to reconnect, that will actually go a really long way in your relationship.
And especially I feel like in the first days where you don't have the ability to talk because you're so overwhelmed and you're so tired, I feel like very small things like eye contact, or just like the touch of the hand or the touch on your arm, the kiss on the forehead, that is communication in itself as well. So especially, like what you were saying, Lisa, in those first days, you are just working from sheer exhaustion. So
For sure.
You don't even have the ability to speak half the
Right,
time.
right. And like
So,
one thing we didn't touch on was like as far as like, the mom, you have like the postpartum crash that comes with like having a baby, So like obviously you have like all of these hormones all over the place, but you're physically and emotionally drained after having, birthing your child. So I think that, you're going through this like huge shift. So I think, like as you said, Monica, give yourself grace and take tiny baby steps in your relationship when you're ready to take it. Because it will take time, but know that it's a marathon. It's a marathon that you're running with your partner.
And it doesn't, obviously, it doesn't stop in the newborn stages, because something I wanted to just kind of touch on as well is that my son is 2 now. He was 2 in April, and so we are kind of going into, I want to say, the challenging twos, right? So I feel like we kind of got into a sweet spot from about 6 months on with Noah. And when he turned, or when he was about to turn 2, obviously he's flooding with these big emotions and, the meltdowns and all these big emotions that he cannot handle. And because he can't talk fluidly yet, he has to use what he can. And we have definitely found that during this transition, the community, me and George have had to communicate more than ever, almost like we've gone back to the newborn stages. Because when your baby becomes a full-on toddler and they're resisting naps and you're having these extra long days, you're going back into that territory of feeling touched out and tapped out, and you're on 0% battery. So even though you have, yes, technically you have the evenings when your toddler at this stage goes to sleep, but then as the mom, or the dad, if obviously if they're a stay-at-home dad, you get to that point where you are tapped out and you're touched out. So you have that kind of, I can't be intimate with my partner anymore for this period of time, whether that's days or whatever that looks like. And it kind of feels like I've gone back in time, So, the kind of like the message to this is, yes, the newborn trenches are ridiculously hard, but you go in waves. Like, you can get a sweet spot for a good year where you've got a great routine and they're sleeping and everything's going great. But then they transition and they go a step further, and then you have these other obstacles to deal with, which also affects your intimacy with your partner. So the ways of connecting with your partner that you make early on, you can build on that as you go through these future hurdles, because they won't stop. They'll just come in waves, some harder than others and some more challenging than others.
And I think like one of my good friends, actually, I just wanted to like quickly shout her out, my good friend Natalia. She has two boys. She has two boys in her house, and her boys are older. They're like about six-ish years old, both of them are. And they have a tradition of doing Friday night date nights. But what I mean by date nights, they don't go out. They stay home. They will turn off the lights in the living room, and they'll sometimes turn off the TV, play music, and have drinks like cocktails, or like serve a glass of wine, whatever, and just sit and talk. And that's like their
That's
Friday
amazing, yeah.
night tradition. And she's had to do this because she doesn't have a village of people to like watch after her kids or for her to go out for a date night. So this is what, they have been able to do on Friday nights. And I think it's absolutely brilliant. I think that obviously sometimes you don't have people to look after your kids, and you have to kind of do with what you have. And so I think that like what I'm trying to say is, I think that finding pockets of time to reconnect is important. And relationships are hard. Relationships are hard because there's going to be days that are harder than others, but there will be pockets of time where you can, reconnect, maybe go out for a quick lunch or go out for a coffee together or something like that. I think that those are the moments that actually really, really count.
Yeah.
And that's the time that where you have for yourself, where you're able to have like a more intimate, conversation where you don't have like a baby screaming in the back, And I think it's really important to take that time.
Yeah, and I absolutely love that idea. I feel like the early days, obviously you're establishing a routine for your baby, and but as your child or your children get older, like your friend does, Elisa, establish these, rituals, these celebrations between you and your partner that you
Right.
can do. And
Yeah.
that's such a lovely idea that, of course it's lovely to go out and get dressed up and go to a lovely bar or restaurant. But if you don't have, if you cannot do that for whichever reason, make it special at home. Like me and George have done that. We don't do it as often as every week, but we would love to. But maybe once a month, we will dedicate an evening where, we will put nice music on, we'll have dinner, and, just really take the time to just talk. And it's so important to
You have
do
to be
that
really
because,
intentional about it.
yeah, you have to be so intentional about it. And I feel something I wanted to talk about is when, you bring your baby into the world, the dopamine hit that you get, the love that you have for this baby is just so, it's just something that you have never felt before. It's, you want to put your absolute soul into this human being that you've just created, And that love will take over. It will take over every other aspect of your life. And I think it's, especially, if you're in a partnership with someone else, it is important to remember that it was you and your partner that created this love ball, right? And that's what you need to stay grounded to, because it's sometimes it is so easy to get wrapped away with your child because they are your absolute everything. But then you need to come back to the fact of actually, no, it was me and my partner before we had children, right? And that's really hard. I mean, my son is two and I'm only just realizing that. So
It takes
it's a
time.
hard one.
It is. That's really, really hard. And like you said, obviously, you birth the baby and you're just like in this whole cloud where you're just like obsessed with your newborn. But like obviously, like you said, you and your partner made this baby together. So I think that at the core, the parents are there. And I think that I think now that Cami's older, she's a full-blown toddler. I think that, it's also healthy for her to see a healthy, loving relationship in the home as well. So, to kind of like have that example and understand that, like, yes, mom and dad love each other, and yes, we kiss each other, and it's okay. Like now, she actually doesn't really like when I kiss him. So, she tells me not to kiss him. I'm like, okay. I'm trying to like explain to her, why I do. I'm like, oh, but we love each other, and but obviously, I want her to see that, because that's the norm. So, so I think that, like, yeah, going back to that, I think that the love will definitely, it will take over. The love of the baby sometimes will feel like it will take over the relationship. But I think that going back to the core and going back to like the relationship, who you are and what brought you together, trying to like squeeze in those like mini date nights, whether it be inside the house or outside. Take advantage of any small spaces that you have.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it's like a double-edged sword, really, because you, like you said, Elisa, like you're obsessed with your children, right? Because they came out of you. You made them in your belly, you birthed them. It's something that you just cannot describe, and that really can take over. And I'm telling you that from how I felt. And it does take, because you just think, okay, so this is my baby, so this is all I need. But if you stay in that bubble too much, the question is, will there be neglect of your relationship between you and your partner? You know,
Right.
that's a question mark, and it's a really tough one. I'm not gonna lie, it's a really, really tough one because, especially as a mother, because that's your child, you know, that's your absolute everything. And it's a tough one, but I think you do need to really put the time in with your partner, wh however that can be, whether it takes, you know, 1 year to do that, whether it takes 5 years to do that after your child arrives. And that can take so many different forms. Yeah, I mean, it's a big one.
Yeah, and I think that it's also important to mention, and this is something that Demo and I did early on. We did couples therapy when I was postpartum, probably like a couple of months into it, just because like we felt like we weren't connecting the same way that we used to. So like we needed to speak to someone that didn't have like a specific opinion on our relationship, someone that was just there to hear us out. About like me nagging about him and then him like saying, our rants, random couple rants that that obviously, that's good, that's good to some to like talk about. So I think that couples therapy also as well will go a long way too. I think that it's really important to seek therapy if you can. But I think that also like long term, it can definitely help as well. Like even into like toddler days or, I think
Yeah. And
speaking
beyond.
to someone and
I
beyond.
don't, yeah, I mean, you know, having therapy as an individual and ha having therapy as a couple, it doesn't mean that anything is wrong with you. It just means that you're open to communicate. And that's all it is. There's nothing, you know, that sometimes there's such a negative connotation with therapy, and that's just, it's a bit ridiculous, to be honest, why that there is like this negative connotation. Because everyone should, especially in a partnership, you should be willing to communicate with your partner. And if you cannot communicate, especially after children, because so many things change, a therapist can help to open those lines of communication again.
Right, totally, totally.
So, you know, so it really is a blessing if you can do that, because even the healthiest of couples,
Go
they
to
get
therapy.
therapy, you know, it's
Just to like touch base,
Yeah.
it is definitely really healthy. And speaking of like emotional health, I think that obviously as a postpartum mother, it's really easy to lose yourself. So I think that also during, the postpartum days and beyond, I think that us women, we are kind of like reclaiming our identity. So we are figuring out who we are as mothers. So that is like a huge part of it as well. While we are trying to like still nurture our relationship. So, that also is going to play a big part too. So I think that that is going to take time on its own. And I think that for me, I think it took me like about 2 years for me to like actually kind of like snap out of it and be like, okay, who am I as a mother right now? Who am
Yeah.
I? To kind of come to the realization that I'm not who I was before and like put the pieces together. So I think that's also going to be part of the process as, as you are in your postpartum journey.
Yeah, and I could also vouch for that. I mean, my son is 2 years old, and I am now thinking that exact thing that you were saying, Elisa. I am now kind of waking up to it and accepting the fact that I wasn't the version of Monica a few years ago, you know, and I'm really now looking at myself thinking, you know, who am I today? You know, what who am I showing up as a mum, as a partner, as a friend, you know, as any kind of, as all the titles that you've been given. And that's huge, because I think you don't realize until you've experienced it that you kind of have no choice but to shed the old version of yourself and to just grow and accept and love, you know, this new version of yourself that is a mother. It's such a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I think like, it's all part of like the grieving process that we go through postpartum. And just to like kind of, wrap things up on this episode, I think that that all of this, the emotional toll that it takes on us, it's going to be part of the grieving process, and it may take a toll on your relationship as well. And I think it's okay. I think it's totally okay to kind of speak, publicly about this and to kind of like, touch on this in our podcast. I think that it's like super important, that it's okay that this is going to be part of the process, part of the healing process. And obviously it's going to take time, but you will get there as long as you are, reconnecting in small moments and giving yourself grace and, taking time to kind of like heal and communicate with your partner.
Be a team.
Be a team.
Be a team. Work together. Even if you think that you're not working together or you feel like you can't, find a common ground.
I think being a team comes in really handy during those postpartum days when you're just like, bopping the baby back and forth. So obviously that's like that's part of your natural process and the routine you have going. But also I think being a team like emotionally to each other as well, like giving each other the space when you need it and, kind of taking a step back and seeing like, okay, you know what? He needs some time right now. I'm going to give him time. We'll talk about this later, taking those moments and seeing where that goes. So, yeah, Monica, I think that, today's episode was like really, really important. I think it was really important to touch on it because this is all going to be part of the process of your postpartum journey and, kind of seeing what that looks like. And, it's going to be part of like the healing process. I think people put a label on it and might say postpartum is 3 months. No, this is something that's in the long run. Like this is going to take time. It's going to take time for you to work on it. And that's totally okay. Just give yourself grace.
Great episode today, Elisa. I've loved talking about this, and we can't wait to join you in our next episode where we're going to be talking about how relationships with the rest of the world change. We wanted to dedicate this episode just on partnerships, but the next episode we want to do is talking about relationships with everyone else, whether that be family, friends, co-workers, whoever that will be.
Life in general. All
Exactly.
right, you guys, thank you so much for joining us this week. As always, stay tuned. We drop an episode every other week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye, guys. Bye.